We praise the Lord for His great word this morning, whether it is preached, read, or sang. We rejoice that it is truth and that we do have God's word. I want us to turn this morning to John chapter 3, first of all, and I want you to just put your finger there, and then turn over to Genesis 6, and then we'll work our way back over to John chapter 3 after a couple of verses. That psalm we just read, sang, the last word of that, last phrase of that, it says, "The way of wicked men shall quite be overthrown." That's relevant to our message this morning, as well as the psalm that Brother Jamie read, Psalm 102, one verse there stood out as he read it to me, that is relevant to this morning. It says that the Lord looked down from the height of His sanctuary, and from heaven did the Lord behold the earth. And then He says this, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those, and this is the phrase, that are appointed to death. That are appointed to death. Speaking of those that are appointed to death, speaking of the wicked, which are the same people, that quite shall be overthrown. Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." And then skip down to verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold," he says, "I will destroy them with the earth." Flip over a few verses to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And verse 1. This is just after the completion of the tabernacle, when God filled that tabernacle with His presence. And this is what happened just after He did that. In verse 10, in Leviticus, in verse 1, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron," the sons of the high priest, "took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not." What was the result of that? "And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in all them that come nigh, that come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." Now, still with your finger in John 3, flip all the way back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. We're kind of just going to jump in the middle here. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That one who's sitting on that throne is the Lord God himself. And it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Then move over across the page to verse 8 of chapter 21, speaking about the same thing. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a common mindset in our day, and it's a growing mindset. And you know, I think I have come to the conclusion that they are right. And this is the mindset. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. You know what? That's right. I believe that life is not fair. As a matter of fact, I will go carry it even a step further. God believes and God teaches in His Word that life is not fair. We have just read three accounts, and what have these accounts been about? They have been about sin, and they have been about death. We have read two accounts from the past, and one account from the future, and all three are about sin and about death. God destroyed the people of the earth in Noah's day with death. God destroyed Nadab and Abihu with death. God destroyed the people in the book of Revelation and Satan and the beast and the false prophet with death. But why did God do this? You know why? Because they deserved it. They deserved it. The world in the day, the people in the day of Noah, their whole mind and their whole heart were completely corrupted and opposed to God, the Lord God, their Creator. They had sinned against Him, and therefore they were worthy of His wrath and worthy of His judgment. They were worthy of the price of sin. God makes it very clear in His Word what the price of sin is. What is it? It is death. If we sin, prepare to die. Nadab and Abihu had direct and precise instruction concerning God and His ways and His command. But yet they did the very thing that they were instructed not to do. In reality, they made themselves to be their God in the presence of God. They did it their way. Oh, they were filled with emotion. That's what that was all about. The presence of the God came into the tabernacle, and that place filled with smoke, and it was an emotional event. Well, their emotions, they got carried away within their emotion, And in that emotion, in those man's emotions, that's the reason we have to be so careful with our emotion. In those emotions, they sinned against their Creator. They sinned against the Lord God their way. They did it their way. But let us know, as we have read that account, what happened to them. Fire came out from the Lord, and they died in the very spot that they committed the sin against them. But what should that tell us? That God, the Lord Jehovah, He is God, and He alone is God. And when man breaks His commands, they become worthy of His wrath, worthy of the price of sin, which is death. The people spoken of in the book of Revelation, of whom these verses that we have read are also speaking of, they're a part of that. Some of them, it says, were small. And some of them, it says, were great. And some were sorcerers, and some were liars, and some were adulterers. But they all had one thing in common. What was it? They were dead. Because the dead, small and great. They were dead, which tells us they were in their sin. That doesn't mean they didn't exist. Obviously, that doesn't mean that. Because they did exist, didn't they? You notice that it said the dead, small and great, were cast into a lake of fire along with death and hell? Listen, there's more to this death thing than what the world thinks, that death is just, it just means you go away. You just don't exist anymore. That's a lie. God's word is clear on that. It doesn't mean that we just cease to exist. Those there yet in the future, in that day yet in the future, when they will stand before the great white throne judgment of God, they are worthy of God's wrath. We need to understand He will not be unjust when He casts sinners into hell. He will not be. He will be just. He will be just as perfect and just as holy and just as righteous and just as praiseworthy as He has ever been. Because He will do justice. Justice will be served. He will do that which is right, just like He always has. That parable that Brother Tim dealt with this morning, he told us that. He will do right. He will do, well, we're going to get to it. He's going to do right, and that right is even glorious. But He's not wrong to do whatsoever He pleases with His own. He's right to do it. Well, that place of wrath, that place of death is described very vividly in the book of Revelation. It says that it is a lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. And how long does it burn? Forever and ever. That's what the sting of death is. You see, in all of these passages, we see men in their sin and men in their rebellion against God, and we see God's wrath, which is death. And they receive this judgment and this curse because they deserved it. They had rebelled against God. It was their just deserves. Well, here's what we all here today must see. This is also what all of us deserve. Those that we read in the future in that book, in the book of Revelation, the dead, small and great, they were cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. That is what we deserve. That is what we deserve. We're no better than those in the days of Noah, whose hearts and minds were at enmity against God. We are no better in and of ourselves than they are. We deserve what they got, which is death. We're no better than Nadab and Abihu, who went against the commands, the direct and precise commands of God, and were destroyed before the Lord. We're no better than they are. We've done the same things. We have heard His word, and yet we sin against Him. We've heard His commands. We've heard His standards. And yet we sin against Him. We're no better than the dead in the book of Revelation. Have we not lied? Have we not committed adultery? Have we not committed murder? Have we not committed abominations? And some might say, well, no, wait, I haven't committed it. And I can prove to you by God's word that you have. Not just me. God's word proves it, that you have. We've committed them all. Have we not been cowardly and unbelieving? Yes, we have. Listen to God's indictment against us. And that's really the only thing that really matters. God's indictment against us. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, and we're all included in that all. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. There we are again. And for all, because all have sinned. We deserve God's wrath, each one of us here this morning, without exception. Each one that might hear this message across the world, we all deserve the same thing, God's wrath, which is death. We deserve the second death that it's talking about in the book of Revelation. He would be right to destroy all of us. It is our just deserves. So you see, life isn't fair, is it? Life isn't fair. Fair is death. That's what's fair for us. We've sinned against God. We've sinned against our Creator. We've stood and spat in His face. Fair for us is judgment. Fair for us is wrath. Fair for us is the lake of fire that burns and torments and tortures forever and ever. That's fair for sinners like us. But life, the life, even physical life that we all have right now, that's not fair. It's much more than that. It's mercy. It's God's mercy. Today, this moment, we live and we breathe by God's hands. We are breathing His air. We're living the life that He puts in these bodies. Today, this moment, we live in God's creation. Today, this moment, we behold every moment the wonder of God's power and might all around us. Even His eternal power and Godhead is displayed before us as we walk around in this world. Every moment, every second in our life, that is demonstrated to us. Think about that. Every time you're looking in the mirror or every time you're looking at someone else, you are beholding God's eternal power and Godhead. As we look at the wonder of these bodies, every time we step outside and see God's creation in all its beauty, in all of its luster, even though it's fallen, even now, it's still glorious. We see the power of God, the Lord Jehovah. And because of that, we're all without excuse. This life is not fair. It's mercy. Because we behold these things, we see these things. We live this life not because we deserve it, not because it's fair, but because of God's great mercy. In Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, abundant in mercy. But then it says He will not always chide. He will not always chide. Neither will He keep His anger forever. He will not always strive, is what that word chide means. This life, even physical life, it's not fair. It's God's mercy. But I want us to consider a life much greater than this physical life. Because there is a life much greater than this physical life. I want us to consider a mercy much greater than the common mercy that God gives every man in this life. Let's see it in John 3, beginning in verse 36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." But then it says, "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." You see here, first we see the wrath of God is spoken of. The same wrath of God that we've already looked at in these other verses. The wrath of God that is the result and the curse of sin that we all deserve. And notice what it says about this wrath of God. It says that it abides. That word abideth means that it remains upon him. It remains upon the person that does not have this life spoken of here. The wrath of God remains upon the person that does not have this life. And this is the case for every person who is dead in their sin. This is the case for every person who is undone in their sin, who is lost in their sin. The wrath of the holy, almighty God, your God, abides upon you, remains upon you, if you have not this life. Now, we just read just three small demonstrations of the great wrath of God. And listen, if you realize that that wrath abides upon you, that ought to strike fear in your heart. The greatest fear that you will ever know. Because this God, the Lord God, look outside. He's real. He does live in the heavens. Look at the circumstances of your life and know, you know in your heart that these things are not just chance and random acts of whatever. You know. You may not admit it, but in your heart there is somewhere that at least says, what if I'm wrong, that these things are all chance. You see, we see God's providence working in our life. We see God's sovereignty working in our lives. He's real. And if this God, the God who is spoken of and revealed to us in His Word, listen, if His wrath remains upon you to this moment, you need to fear Him. Because He is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And that is what you deserve. That's just as plain and just as simple as I can tell it to you. We see God's wrath here. But here it also talks about life. Not just the life of these bodies. But it talks about in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son has what? He has everlasting life. You know, we look all around us and we know that these bodies, they'll die. Graveyards are full all over town. We know that they not only will die, they are dying. Can't you see it? Some of you small children, young children, you might not be able to see it right now, but you will soon. The old body will catch up with you. You think you got it under control right now? No, you don't. It's dying. And there's evidences of that all around us. But the life, so this everlasting life, that's not talking about this life in this body. It's a life much greater than this. This everlasting life is the eternal life, the everlasting life of the soul. It's much more important, by the way. That life is much more important than the life of these bodies. The life of these bodies in relative terms are just like that. They come and they're gone. But what about your soul, which is the intellectual part of you? That's what is the difference between you and the animals that we live in. That's really the difference. It has that soul that possesses the intellect, that possesses the image of God. The intellect, the knowledge, the conscience that the animals don't have. That's the life that this is talking about. Back up to verse 16. Read this. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Who's that talking about? That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Son of God. There's no question about that. The world may question it, but they can't question it with any reasonable understanding at all. That's who He is. There's one big fact that makes that undeniable. He came out of that grave through which He lay for 3 days. He came out and He walked among men, and men saw Him rise to heaven. Yeah, you can argue about a lot of different things about His life. You can deny and ignore that God spoke from heaven that this is my Son. You can say, well, that's just what that says. But we have 500 men at once, the account of that. 500 men at once that saw this man live. Some of them also saw him hang on that tree and the life beat out of him. They saw his life go from him. They saw it laid in that tomb. But then the angel of God came and rolled back the stone. And the man Christ Jesus got up and came out of that grave. Now you can deny it, and you can deny everything else, you can ignore everything else, but we can't ignore that. He is the Son of God. And it says right here, God says this is God's Word. It is revealed to us. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's talking about that man, the Lord Jesus. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not receive their just deserves of perishing. Should not receive that which we have read in these accounts of God's wrath. But they would have everlasting life. Because, verse 17, God sent His Son into the world, sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is, watch this, is not condemned. What'd that say? He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's verse 18. Look at that. He that believeth not is condemned. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That says the very same thing as verse 36, doesn't it? It says exactly the same thing, but look at it. Notice just exactly what the wrath of God is here. First, it's described in verse 18. It's described, His wrath is described in the words, condemned already. Condemned already. The wrath of God is condemnation. You know what that word condemnation means? It means judgment is passed. Guilty. That's the wrath of God. Guilty. The judgment of God against the condemned is guilty. The judgment of God against the lawbreaker is guilty. The judgment of God against the sinner is guilty. The judgment of God against the wrath deserving is guilty. The judgment has already been passed, is what it's saying. He is condemned already. Guilty. And because the judgment, the condemnation, the wrath comes from God, you know what that means? That means it's your judgment. Also means it's right judgment, because God is just. It's right, like we have already talked about. That's our just deserve. Life is not fair. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve this condemnation because we have all sinned against Him. I tell you something else it means, because it's of God and because it's right and because it's just. It means that of ourselves or any other man, it's unreversible. Unescapable. That psalm that we read Wednesday night, Psalm 49, verse 7 says, none can redeem his brother or give to God a ransom, because the redemption of the soul is precious. The redemption of the soul is costly. You know what that means? That means you cannot escape this judgment, this condemnation from God of yourself or of any other man. You can't do it. It's already passed. But then notice how life here, how life, everlasting life, is described here. How salvation from your condemnation, abiding condemnation, is described here. It's in the words, not condemned. He that believeth upon the Son is not condemned. You know what that word not means? Let me read you the definition. A primary word, the absolute negative. It means not, no, cannot. Absolute negative. So he that believeth on the Son cannot be condemned, is what it says. Absolutely no, cannot be condemned. Listen, that's where I want to be. Isn't that where you want to be? You don't want to be under the condemnation, under the wrath and the judgment of God, do you? No, I want to be in that spot where it says, he cannot be condemned. No, absolutely not. The absolute negative cannot be condemned. You see why this life and everlasting life, the condemnation, this is life. This is everlasting life because the condemnation is removed. Condemnation is removed. We're born into this world in sin. We live in sin. We commit sin against God. We rebel against Him. And the judgment's been passed as far as we're concerned. Guilty. But this life that God gives, this everlasting life, moves us into a position to where we are no longer guilty because He removes the sin. He removes the condemnation. And because He, God, has removed it, because He, God, has given us mercy, we know cannot be condemned. That's what it means. But also here, notice, what's the difference between life and death? What's the difference here? It's said in both of these verses. What's the difference between life and death? Very simple. Is it your goodness? I don't see anything about your goodness in there. Remember, of ourselves, what position are we in? Condemned already. The wrath of God remains upon us. I bet you our good works will outweigh, will move us from that place of being condemned to that place of not being condemned. Can we find that there? We find anything out about your good works there? There ain't a thread of that there. Why? Why can't my good works? I do a lot of good works. Why can't that move me over to that place? Because the wrath of God remains upon you. It cannot move you because you're condemned already. It remains upon you as long as you remain natural, as long as you remain in that place where you deserve God's wrath, as long as you remain in your sin. What about what I believe? I don't know if I really believe all that. You know what? Those people that we read about over in the book of Revelation, the dead who were small and great, you know what they said? I don't really believe all that. It didn't change the fact that the wrath of God abided upon them, did it? It didn't change the fact that God threw them, cast them into the lake of fire forever and ever, did it? I don't really believe all that. I'm going to tell you like it is. It doesn't really matter what you believe because there's one God and it's not you. It's the Lord Jehovah. And we must believe what He believes, what He teaches, what He believes, because He's right. He's the lawgiver. What we believe doesn't matter. Simple though, here, How are we moved from that place of where the wrath of God abides upon us to the place of no, absolutely not, cannot be condemned? It says right here, do you believe this? He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. That's how we're moved. Believing upon the Son. That's simple, isn't it? It's kind of like that camel and that needle, though. That eye of the needle that Brother Tim talked about this morning. With God, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I can tell you that it's impossible because this morning I asked you a few minutes ago, which position do you want to be in? The place where the wrath of God remains upon you already? That you cannot escape it? It remains upon you. It abides upon you. Or in the place where you cannot be condemned. Anybody in the right mind would say, I want to be in the place that I cannot be condemned. Then why haven't we all believed upon the Son of God? But we haven't. And neither does the world. With God, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Him who, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Him who, the Savior's Son, that God sent into this world. In verse 36, it says the same thing. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Well, some might say, well, that's good, because I believe in Jesus. Well, so does Satan. But remember what we saw happen to him in the book of Revelation? He was cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. He suffered. He will suffer forever the wrath of God. Look closer at verse 18. The last part of there says that he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed. And notice how this is phrased. He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hath not believed in the name. It's different than just a mental assent that yes, there was a man called Jesus. I believe there was a man called Jesus. It's more than that. This, when it says we talked about this, we had great lengthy conversations about this in our series of A Name Above Every Name. What does that mean? It means when it says that he has not believed on the name of the Son of God, that means you've not believed upon his reputation. That speaks to his reputation. So basically, those that are condemned already, those that the wrath of God remains upon, those that are not dead, or those that are dead and not alive, are so because they have not believed what God's word, what God has said about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they are condemned already, they are headed for the lake of fire. They have not believed that Jesus Christ, what does God tell us about His Son? Well, we don't have time for all that He tells us about His Son, but there are a few things that we must know. Those that are condemned already have not believed that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God. They deny what we were just talking about, that He is the Son of God, that He did all the things that were said about Him upon the earth were said about Him as being the Son of God. They deny those things. Well, I don't really believe that. And that resurrection thing, well, we don't really know that. The Lord says in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a matter be established. There was 500 witnesses. Listen, a man can be put to death for two or three witnesses. Don't we know for a fact that 500 men saw the Lord Jesus Christ at once, that He rose from the dead? Yes, we know it is fact. But the world does not believe, and they are condemned already. Those that do not believe these things are condemned already, it says, because they have not believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not believed that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Messiah that has been prophesied about from the very first words of this book. He is the one. He's the anointed. He is the appointed of God. He is God's anointed and appointed only Savior of sinners. He's the only one. But the world says, well, there are many ways. God does not say that. Our God says, there's one way. And He'll be my Son. He'll be the Messiah. I have anointed Him. I have appointed Him. He's the only one that can save sinners from their sins. That's what God says. But those that are condemned already don't believe that. They don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of God's people. They don't believe that. I don't know why He came and died and shed His blood then. But He did. You want to know why? Because He is the Redeemer. He purchased God's people with His own blood. He's the Redeemer. They don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only satisfactory atonement for sin. They're constantly trying to put their sin, to justify their sin, take away their sin, do something good to override their sin. And none of those things will work because there was one appointed and one anointed atoner for sin. And He came to this world and He gave Himself as an atonement for the sin of His people. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. His atonement was the only atonement ever satisfactorily offered and received by God Himself for sin. The Lord tells us this, many of the Jews, for instance. But not just the Jews, man too. It's still religion. They looked at the blood of bulls and goats. Well, they haven't done that for 2,000 years, so I guess no atonement has been made for the people for over 2,000 years, huh? But even those that had, even before that time, the Lord tells us very plainly in His book that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. There was a purpose in those things, and the purpose was to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that could take away sin. You want to know why the sacrifices ceased 2,000 years ago? Because the price was paid in full when Jesus Christ gave Himself for sinners 2,000 years ago. That's why the sacrifice ceased. And even if it begins again, it'll be to no avail. The price has been paid. It's done. It's finished. It was finished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are condemned already don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that God cannot be approached outside or apart from Him. They don't believe that. They think they can approach God of themselves, of their goodness, of their merit. That's what Nadab and Abihu thought they could do it their way. What happened to them? Fire came out from the Lord and destroyed them. You can't do it your way. You have not been anointed. You have not been appointed. You are not the Son of God. You cannot do it your way. There is. The Lord said it Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Those that are condemned already don't believe that Jesus Christ is the door of salvation. Now that ark that Noah built, when the Lord put those eight people and the appointed animals on that ark, you know what He did? The book says God shut the door. There was one way in and one way out of that ark. And God shut the door. The Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, He said, I am the door. I am the door. That means there's one way in and one way out. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him. Those that are condemned already don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope of acceptance before God. We cannot be accepted before the holy and righteous God of our own merit, because we're sinners. And our God, the Lord Jehovah, is of purer eyes than to behold sin. Man, in and of themselves, do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man. They do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. They do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever or will ever be able to save us from our sin. But it says very simply here, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not upon him is condemned already. That's the difference. He is the difference between the wrath of God abiding upon you and being in the position where you cannot be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the door, the way, the truth, the life, the Savior, the one satisfactory sacrifice and atonement for sin. He is the difference. He is it. And there is none other. But the condemned lean to their own understanding and are ever seeking and believing in another way. And when you're seeking and believing in another way, you know what you're doing? You're rebelling against your God. You're sinning against your God, your Creator. That's what you're doing when you're seeking another way. God is clear. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. But the condemned say, well, I think there's another way. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the condemned say, well, I can do it. If I say this many prayers and this many Hail Marys and do this rosary thing, I can better do it. You're not going to find that in this book. There is no other way to be moved from the position of being condemned to the position of where you cannot be condemned. There is no other way besides the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one way of salvation. He is the one way to be freed from condemnation. He is the only way that sinners like us cannot be condemned. Because life isn't fair, remember? Fair is death. How can we escape death? How can we escape that second death? How can we escape the lake of fire, the wrath of God against our sin? It says it right here. I'm not saying it. God says that he that believeth upon the Lord Jesus Christ is not condemned. He that believes God's word, what it says about his Son, is not condemned. He that believes and casts his trust upon what God says instead of what he says in his own rebellious heart is not condemned. That's what God's Word says. Our sin, you see, it must be removed. Can you do that? Can any of us remove our sin? Well, there's good. No, that's the bad news. But there's good news. Jesus Christ can. To the point that you cannot be condemned. That's wonderful news. Have you heard it? Have you heard it today? Have you heard about the cross that Jesus Christ came, the Son of God came to and gave Himself upon? Have you heard about His death? How He died for sin. He died for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. Have you heard about that tomb that they laid Him in for 3 days? And yes, He was dead. But have you heard that He got up and walked out of that tomb? That God Himself removed Him from that tomb. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, walked upon this earth for 40 more days after He was dead in that grave. And that's not just what he didn't just go away in 40 more days, but the Bible gives us the account where they watched him upon the Mount of Olives, and the clouds came and gathered him up and took him into the heavens. And you know what else God's Word says about him? That right now he lives. Right now in heaven he appears before God for his people, for us, to make intercession for us, because that's how we are. That's how we cannot be condemned, you see. It's the work, it's the person, it's the continuing and abiding and remaining work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because apart from him, we're all condemned already, and the wrath of God remains upon him, upon us, but not with him. Not with him. Believe upon him, the Bible says, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? It doesn't. He is the difference, you see, between life and death. Life is not fair. Praise be to the glory of God. He's not dealing fair with us. Praise his wonderful name, because death and hell is fair for us. Praise his wonderful name, that it says here that God so loved the people that he sent his Son for them to take away their sin and to put them in a position where they cannot be condemned, where he will not, under no circumstance, condemn them and judge them. Why? How can that be? Because he judged his own Son in our place. That's what that cross was about. Jesus died for us. He laid our sins upon him, and he went to that grave for us. The very place of death, he went there for us. But our Savior, my Savior, came up over triumphant and overcame that death and that hell and that grave. He overcame it for us. You know, in John, in chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, it says there was no one there worthy to open the book. But then someone said, wait a minute, John, there is someone here. He's the Lion from the tribe of Judah. The Lamb. He has prevailed to open the book. You know what that book was? That's where my name was written. And the name of all of his people. It's his book. He's so worthy. He prevailed to open it up and to read the names thereof. That's the kind of Savior that we have. One that can really move us from our just deserves of the wrath of God remaining upon us. Because we've sinned against our God. We've rebelled against Him. But in Christ, we are moved into the position where we cannot be. You hear that? The absolute negative. No. You cannot be condemned. That's where I want to be. In Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to believe upon the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I can tell you, by God's grace, He would give you faith, even this morning, to believe upon Him. You will wonder throughout all eternity why it took you so long. Because it's so simple. It's all there in His Word. How could I not, you'll say, how could I not see the Lord Jesus in this book? How could I not see that He is the only Savior? How could I not see that He is the only way I can be saved and accepted before God? May the Lord grant you faith that you may say those things in your heart. May He be pleased to move you from your just deserves, to remove you from what's fair, which is death, and give you that which is not fair, to give you mercy, which is life.
We pray that he would be pleased to do so.